Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 through to 9. The scriptures will also be on the screen for those that don't have your Bibles. If you can turn to those scriptures, Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. It says, "And let them make me a sanctuary." This is God speaking to Moses, and he's telling Moses, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." How many people know that we need God to dwell among us? Yeah? God says, "Moses, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to give you a plan. I'm going to give you a pattern. I want you to make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. According to all that I show you, Moses, do it exactly as I say, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it." Then it goes on to say, and we're in the middle of a series. We've been doing a series on the tabernacle plan, and we took a break on Easter Sunday, on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, and we had a visiting speaker last week. So after a couple of weeks, I'm picking up again. We're up to part 4 of our series, and we've been working our way through this tabernacle plan. And today we come to the table of showbread. In Exodus 25, verse 23, it says, in all of this pattern that God is giving Moses, "Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold around about it." This is how you're going to make it. It's going to be a table, and this is the size. There's going to be a crown around it. "Thou shalt make it unto a border, a handbreadth around about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof, round about, and you shall set upon it table showbread before me always." Everyone say always. Then in the New Testament, speaking of the tabernacle plan, it says about these things in the Old Testament, it says, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things." These things in the Old Testament, they serve as an example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, he said, "Foresee, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern that I showed thee in the mount." And so these things in the Old Testament, although when Jesus died on the cross, all of those process and rituals, they were done away with, all those ceremonial things. Jesus became our sacrifice. But Hebrews tells us that these things are a pattern, an example for us. And there is a pattern in the tabernacle that we can follow if we want to get into the presence of God. And so today I want to speak about the table of showbread. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Lord, as we spend this short time in your word today, Lord, let your word go deep into our heart. Lord, let the searchlight of heaven just search through our lives. Lord, we need you to change us. And so, Lord, as we just sang, we open up our hearts, soften our hearts so the seed of your word can go in and grow. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Thank you for standing so long. You may be seated. We read about this tabernacle plan in the book of Exodus. And the Exodus story begins with the children of Israel in bondage and in slavery. It begins the book of Exodus in the gloom and the darkness of the Egyptian slavery. And when they come out of Egypt, God gives them a plan of the tabernacle, and it all ends in the glory of the tabernacle. And I want to say today that God is still calling people out of bondage. God is still calling people out of darkness and calling people into the light. Are you thankful that God called you out of your darkness? Yeah, the situations that you were in and where you found yourself. And God is still wanting to meet us in the holy place. And so over the last couple of weeks in this series, we've been looking through the tabernacle plan, because the tabernacle was God's blueprint, not man's blueprint, but it was given by God to Moses as a blueprint for God's people, so they could come into the Holy of Holies, so they could come into the presence of God. And so this original blueprint, this type and shadow in the Old Testament, it tells us about how we can approach God, about how we can go in and meet with God and be in His presence, and how we can hear God's voice in our life.
this tabernacle plan, and you can see the layout there as we've moved from the gate and to the brazen altar and the laver of water. Now we're in the holy place, and the last time I preached about the golden lampstand and the oil, but today we're talking about the showbread. All of these things are a pattern for our relationship with God, about how we approach God in prayer. It is also a foreshadowing of the plan of salvation for us. And as Hebrews says, it is an example and a shadow of heavenly things. And so we'll start with some revision. First of all, when you came through the gate, it wasn't a gate that swung open at all. No, it was a curtain that hung down. It was one piece. And to be able to go through the curtain into the tabernacle, one would have to bow down and would have to pick up the curtain and go under the curtain before they could come into that outer court of this tabernacle plan. And we learned that day that when it comes to approaching God, we must always approach Him with humility. Before you can get anywhere with God, you have to realize who you're not and who God is. Somebody say amen. And so when we approach God, we always approach in humility. And I guess that's why we bow our knees and we bow our heads. Because the most important thing when you approach God is that you start by approaching Him with humility. It also talks about the gate, that is. And we're told to come into His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. And enter His courts with praise. That's right. And so then the first thing, once you came through that gate, the first thing you would see was the altar of sacrifice, that brazen laver. And so that brazen altar, speaks of repentance. It's a place where dying would happen. They would sacrifice a lamb there. And for us, that brazen altar speaks about us dying to our flesh. That brazen altar speaks about repentance. And so when we come in humility to God, the first thing we must do is we say, God, I ask You to forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I've been walking the wrong way. Lord, I've been just following my flesh. But Lord, I want to repent of my sins and I want to die to my flesh. And so what is repentance? It's quite a long word, but repentance is simply this. It is an inward change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. Something happens on the inside and it changes the way we are on the outside. And then they would come after that altar of sacrifice, that brazen altar, then they would come to the laver of water. Everyone say the laver. And obviously there was water in there, and it can speak of baptism, but the Bible also speaks of the Word of God as being the water as well. And so that laver was made out of, and the Bible says it was made out of the looking glasses of women, okay? Looking glasses. They used to shine brass up to make mirrors. And so this laver of water. And the Bible talks about the washing of the Word, the washing of the water by the the washing of the water by the Word. And so when the priest would go and he would look into that laver, and it was made out of it was made out of mirrors. When he looked into that laver, he could see himself. In fact, he could see two images of himself. He would have been able to see an image of himself on the reflection on the water. And he would have also seen the reflection of himself coming up from the mirrors that laver was made out of. And when we approach God, we must look into the Word of God. And when we look into the Word of God, we must examine our heart and let the Word of God examine us. Okay? And so we see ourselves when we look into the Word of God. We see where we stand. We see who we are. But even more than that, the priest would have to take the water and would have to wash. We need to not just read the Word of God and see who we are and where we stand. But when we read the Word of God, we must also apply it to our life and through the washing of the water. Then it talks about the golden candlestick. And we know that it wasn't a candle as such, although it's called a candlestick. But it was like a beautiful brass light that had oil in it. It didn't run by candles because candles consume themselves and burn out. But the oil was poured in by the priests every day, and the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And so we must also be led by the Spirit. But right there in that holy place, we also have the table of showbread. I'm not going to focus so much on the actual table today, but I want to focus what is on the table. Yes, the table was made of acacia wood or shittim wood, overlaid with pure gold. And when we see wood, it speaks of flesh. And when we see gold, it speaks of deity. It speaks of Jesus Christ, who was the God-man. He was God manifest in flesh. He was wood and gold. Wood overlaid with gold. And on top of that table, there were 12 loaves of unleavened bread. Why were they unleavened? Because in the Bible, leaven speaks of sin. But Jesus had no sin. And to be eaten by the high priest, he would go in there and they would partake of those 12 loaves of the unleavened bread. I want to tell you today that the bread speaks of the Word of God. The bread speaks of the Word of God, which is our daily sustenance. This is the Word that we live by. And we spoke a little bit about the state of our world. But the whole world may change, but the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. We have a standard that we can live by. We have the Word of God as our reference point, and we can't go changing the Word of God. You can't go taking things out of the Bible and saying it's no longer relevant because we got smarter than that. No, no, no. This Word is going to bring us life. It's going to give us our sustenance. We must never move it. It is our reference point. Now, if you know anything, have we got anyone who was in the Scouts? Anybody ever a Boy Scout? Yeah, one, two, only two people here that know how to tie knots. All right. But I guess if you're in the army or something like that, you learn to use a compass and you get a map and a compass. And it's not like GPS. Compasses are different, all right? You need to use your compass and something else to know where you are. A GPS just tells you where you are. But a compass, you need to use your compass and a reference point to know where you are. And so when I would go with my dad and he would show me how to use a compass, he would say, now that mountain, let's say, for example, is Mount Taylor. And so we are here in relation to Mount Taylor. And so then when we move, we can say, okay, we know where we are because Mount Taylor hasn't moved. I'm pretty sure Mount Taylor hasn't moved. We've moved. So now we know where we stand. And that is the importance of the Word of God. It never changes. We always know where we stand because we've got the Word of God. It is forever settled in heaven. The flower may fade, the leaf may wither, the grass may wither, but the Bible says that this Word will last forever. And so we always have a reference point. And that showbread on the table speaks of the Word of God, but it also speaks of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 6 verse 35, he said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, everyone say Jesus. When you find Jesus, it says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus is the bread. Now, that showbread was made out of fine flour, very fine flour. And there were 12 loaves and sitting on that gold table. And the fine flour, to be fine, the flour had to be beaten. The flour, the wheat had to be ground up. And the higher the quality of the flour, it meant that it had to go through more of a beating to be ground. And the fine flour, everyone say the fine flour. Now, I find it hard to talk on the best of times, but, you know, fine flour is not coming out too easy today. But the fine flour of the Old Testament always speaks as a type of Jesus Christ because he was the finest. He was beaten for us to become who he was. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Everyone say bread. How many people like bread? Anybody? Fair few people. Now, in the Jewish culture, bread was a very, very important thing. People told me that have traveled in Israel and things like that, that when you go around, there's bakeries everywhere. And people, it's always about hot bread. They love to eat their bread. And so when Jesus was speaking, we've got to be conscious of who he was speaking to. When he said, I am the bread of life, he was speaking to Jewish people. Now, Australia's changed a little bit, but when I grew up, maybe not so much my parents. My mum was always very, very, she didn't like us to eat too much bread. I used to eat a loaf anyway, so I guess she didn't want to put it on the table at night and eat another loaf. But, you know, I used to eat you know, 8 slices for breakfast, 8 slices for lunch, come home, eat another 8 slices, you know, the 4 toaster went down twice. So, but she never put bread on the table. But my grandparents, whenever we sat down, didn't matter what it was, there was always bread on the table. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah, bread. Europeans, they like to have bread on the table. It doesn't matter what you're eating. Bread seems to go with everything. But now we have a multicultural church, and I'm talking about bread. And some of you are going like, no, we never had bread. Now, who grew up and didn't have bread on the table every meal that you ate? How many people here grew up and didn't have bread? Look at that. I wonder what you had. You had rice. Taro. So the islanders had taro. Most of the Asians had rice or chapati or lentils or maize. And so Jesus was speaking to Jewish people. He said, I am the bread of life. And so they thought, you know what? This is what Jesus was saying. He's saying, every time you sit down to a meal, I am the central part of the meal. You can never eat without bread. And so Jesus was saying, you can't have life without me. Whenever you sit down to eat and you look for your sustenance, you're always going to reach for bread. And the same is with me. He said, I am the bread of life. Now, this gets a little bit interesting. Because if Jesus was in the Philippines, they would have known what he was talking about. He would have said, I am the rice of life. And they all would have looked at him and they would have understood what he said. They would have said, yes, Jesus is telling us that we can't have a meal without him. And brother, if he was in Samoa, he would have said, I'm the taro of life. You can't have a meal without taro. I've come to tell you that Jesus is the bread. He is our sustenance. He's everything we need. And we can't have true life without Jesus. He says himself, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And so that table of showbread, that bread speaks of Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. The prodigal son, he went out. He took his father's inheritance early, which is a terrible thing to do. He took it, and when he demanded his dad, give me my inheritance, he was saying, I wish you were already dead, dad. Just give me the money. And he went out and blew all of it, that prodigal son. And he pursued worldly things and possessions and power and pleasures. And he found out that nothing in the world satisfied him. He said, I got to go back to my father's house where there is plenty of bread. And I encourage you today, if you've wandered away from the Lord, you got to get back into the father's house. Where there is bread that can sustain you, that can keep you, Jesus Christ is the most important thing in our life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And so Jesus is the bread. But the bread also speaks of the word. And in fact, Jesus is also the word. But the bread is the word. And so the chief purpose of this table of showbread was to feed the priests. And so, what is the word of God? It's God talking to me. The word, and we're thinking, you know what? You already talked about the word at the laver of water. But that is the word that is for the cleansing of the soul. When you look at yourself and you see where you stand and you cleanse yourself by the washing of the word. But the word at the table of showbread is the word that gives you strength. Now, some of our young people are doing a one-month challenge right now, and they wake up every day at 5 a.m., and believe it or not, some of them are doing it. I'm not saying they didn't go back to bed after waking up, but they're waking up at 5 a.m. and spending time in prayer and reading their Bible, because the Word will give you strength. It is the Word that you take and apply that makes you be strong. It's the Word that you take and apply to your life that makes you an overcomer. And so the word, that bread, it speaks of Jesus, but it also speaks of the word. And the Bible says this about the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, and I'm preaching as quick as I can today. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this, all scripture, everyone say all scripture, all of this word, all of it. You know, the beauty, even in the Old Testament, where you might not be able to understand exactly what it's saying, it's all got a meaning there. It's all there for a reason. And it's all given by inspiration of God. It is all God-breathed, God-inspired. And it is profitable. Okay? Now, just because you've got a Bible on your shelf doesn't mean it's going to be profitable. I know a lot of people... It's funny, I've met people that aren't even Christians yet, and they got a Bible. I'm like, hey, that's cool, you got a Bible in your car. Yeah, you're a Christian. No, I just carry it so God will protect me. Well, you have to open your Bible and read it for it to become profitable. It says that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, to teach us. It is profitable for reproof and for correction. Everyone say correction. It corrects us. It instructs us in righteousness that the man of God may be perfect. If we read this word, it's going to profit us that we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Doctrine, the word of God teaches us what to believe. Reproof tells us what not to believe. Correction tells us how to behave. Instruction in righteousness tells us how to live a righteous life. And it will help you, this Bible will help you stay right. It'll help you walk the straight and narrow that we may be perfect and do good works. And so that sounds easy when I just say, you know, well, read your Bible and you'll be fine. But it's not as easy as that, is it? In fact, this is our lifelong battlefield. Because by reading the Word of God, Christ can be formed in us. And this is our lifelong battleground, that we don't just believe in Jesus, but that he is formed inside of us, that we may have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ comes through the words, the Word of God. Galatians 4:19, Paul says this, "My little children, in whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." And every single one of us, that's our daily battlefield. To be more and more like Jesus, for Christ to be formed in us. And how is Christ going to be formed in us? We need to have that ongoing relationship with the Word of God. We need to get the Word into our life, the mind of Christ into our life, that Christ may be formed in us. That is the goal. That is our lifelong battlefield. And a little literal translation of the word form says, a mind and life in complete harmony with the life of Christ. And so our goal as Christians is that Christ be formed in us. Now, I'm going to tell you what it's not. Our goal is not to imitate the actions of Jesus. To imitate, all right? It's not to repeat the phrases of Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus, but yes, we want Christ to be formed in us. So it's not just an outward thing, but it's an inward thing flowing into the outward. And so it's not just about imitating. And so when I was young, I used to like playing football. I still try, and I still do like it when I try to play football. But I remember I would go in the backyard, and I was the only son. My sister was never interested in playing football with me. Sometimes she tried, but she always used to bribe me, you know, and she never fulfilled her promises. She said, "I'll play football with you if you do this," and you know, yeah. She never really. I used to do stuff for her, and then she never played with me. But down the backyard, get the football out, and you know, it was amazing. I walked out into that lawn out the back, and I could hear the crowds cheering. It was Lang Park. I was playing for Queensland, and the crowds were cheering, and I look at myself in the glass as I got the football, my boots on, my socks up, and I don't know how crazy I must have looked to the neighbors and my parents. I remember, like, I was commentating, I was playing, I was doing everything, you know. I was the halfback, I was the 5'8", I was the fullback, I'd take my own bombs, everything. I was playing, you know, and I would run around and I'd be Laurie Daly. Laurie Daly cuts through the line, he's making it up, oh, he passed, he gets the ball back, a triple chase. I used to imitate all these football players. But it didn't matter how much I imitated them, I wasn't Laurie Daly. I was just a kid who had nobody to play with. And so being a Christian is not just imitating the actions of Jesus and repeating the phrases of Jesus. No, it is about having Christ formed inside of us. And Paul said, I travail. This is what I'm urging you, that you would let Christ be formed in you, so that when he is formed in you, then you begin to think like Jesus. You begin to talk like Jesus. You begin to love, and you begin to live like Jesus. It's got to come through the Word of God. You got to get the Word of God in us, because, and it's more than just education. Some may say, okay, I want to get the Word of God in me. And we say, I'm going to go to Bible college. Yeah, and Bible college is great. And I encourage, and in fact, tomorrow we're starting a new topic. So you can come talk to us if you want to get involved. But Christ formed in you is just more than education. It's more than just hearing, as we heard on Sunday night. It's about doing, not just being hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Christ formed in us is more than just memorizing lots of scriptures. Because information is good, but information alone doesn't transform anybody. Let me show you what I mean. Like, we all know that McDonald's isn't healthy. There is so much information out there that tells us it's not healthy. But there's a good chance a percentage of you will have McDonald's today. Not now, I guess. But information alone doesn't transform anybody. Having knowledge doesn't mean you're a transformed person. In fact, I find a lot of Christians, we have a very high level knowledge and a very low level obedience. We know more than we do. And so education is not Christ formed in us. We have to get the Word of God. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 15 verse 16, thy words were found and I did eat them. You've got to eat them, as it were, consume the Word of God. And the word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So Jeremiah says, I took the Word of God and I got it into me. I didn't just know about it. I didn't just memorize it, but I ate it. And Revelation 10 verse 9, it says it like this. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said, take and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Sometimes it doesn't always sit right with us. Sometimes it's hard to read the Word of God and let it work on us, but it shall be sweet in your mouth. And so this Word, yes, it speaks of Jesus being our daily sustenance, but it speaks of the Word of God as our strength. We are what we eat. And if we want Christ to be formed in us, if we want to have the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. We've got to get the Word of God. The table, it didn't have chairs, no. It wasn't a place to relax. They stood there at the table of showbread. It wasn't a convenient thing to do. And the reality for every single one of us, to read the Word, you're never going to find a convenient time. You've got to want to do it. You've got to be committed to do it. Then as I finish, Exodus chapter 25, verse 25, and it says, and thou shalt make it around it a border and a handbreadth around it. Exodus 25, 25. So there was going to be a border around the table, okay? And so God gave instructions. Every time they were moving through the wilderness, they would set up this temporary tabernacle. There were all the instructions about how to pack it up and how to reset it and get it all sorted. And everybody had a job. But there was this border around the table. Numbers chapter 4 verse 7, it says, and upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue and put thereon the dishes and the spoons and the bowls and covers to cover withal, and the continual bread. Everyone say continual. The bread was always meant to be on the table. It was always meant to be on the table. And I've come to encourage you today that the bread always needs to be continually on your table. Needs to be on your table. The Word of God has to be part of your disciplines. And this table is not just a piece of furniture, but it had a crown. Had a border around it. You know what? So even when they were moving, the bread still would be on the table. It could never just fall off the table. Nothing falls off during the transportation in the wilderness. And I tell you, sometimes we're going to go through wildernesses in our lives. Sometimes we're going to go through trials. Sometimes there's going to be relationship difficulties. Sometimes there's going to be work difficulties, financial difficulties. But I want to encourage you today, never let the bread fall off the table. Never let the bread fall off the table. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, there have been so many attacks on the word of God. You know, the man who tried to rid the world of the Bible, his house became a printing press. God, yeah, that's right, Voltaire. God has a way. But the word of God remains. God has preserved his word. It is forever settled in heaven. And so whatever you go through, yeah, sometimes you might not have any fire on the altar. There might not be any water in the laver as you go through the wilderness, as you're traveling. There might not be any incense on the table. Sometimes in the wilderness, there may be no praise at the gate. But God says, you know what? I'm not going to allow my people to go through the wilderness without some bread on the table. So even as they transported that table through the wilderness, there was a border on it, and the bread was continually there. And I tell you, sometimes you're not going to feel like the fire's burning. Sometimes you're not going to feel like you're walking with God. And sometimes, even like Joseph, sometimes it seems like God is silent. God says, you know what? When you go through the wilderness, I want to make sure, as Israel go through the wilderness, as my people go through the wilderness, I want to make sure the bread is always on the table. And our strength is when we've got the bread on the table. You know what's a good idea every morning when you wake up and you eat your breakfast? Open up the Word of God and say, God, what do you want to say to me today? That daily devotion, make sure that you've got the bread on the table. As you go through the wilderness, make sure you've got the bread on the table. Not just sitting there, but that you're reading it, that you're consuming it. Take and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter. Yes, sometimes you're going to go, oh, God, I wasn't ready to hear that today. You know, I learned very young as a child, anything good for you doesn't really taste good. Everything that I hated to eat, Mom said, bird's good for you. Brussels sprouts, oh, some terrible things. Medicine, oh, they never made medicine taste like Coca-Cola today, but it never tasted that good when I was young. And sometimes the Word of God, it's not going to taste good necessarily. It's going to be a bit bitter in the belly, but it's what we need to hear. It's good for us. Forever, thy Lord, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Thy Word, as I finish, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God is our daily sustenance. When you read that, Psalm 119, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lamp and light sounds like the same thing, doesn't it? In fact, it is. Feet and path sounds like the same thing. But everything in the Word of God is there for a reason, because this tells us something very, very important. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. The Word of God can guide you in taking your next step. The step, the feet. But the Word of God is also a light unto our path. The Word of God will also give us the pathway that we should take. Not just the next step, but the pathway in life. So I ask you today, just in this short time, what bread are you eating? Where are you getting your sustenance? Where are you getting your direction? It's time to make sure that the bread is always on the table. If you're here today, I want to tell you that Jesus is the answer for the world today. He always has been, and he always will be. We've got to stand for Jesus Christ. He is the only way that we can have eternal life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And if you come to me, you'll never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And the world, I guess the greatest anthem of the world as they search for meaning. All different things, mindfulness, yoga, all these sorts of things that people do to try and find and connect and fulfill themselves. Jesus says that if you come to me, you will be fulfilled. You'll never be hungry and you'll never be thirsty. I will fulfill you. Jesus is the answer. But I guess the anthem that the world sings, and it's for so many people, they chase and they chase and they chase and they finally get something and they say, you know what? I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And then they chase the next thing. They said to a rich man, how much money is enough? And he just said, just a little bit more. And that song you two sang, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But when you find Jesus Christ, you will find everything that you're looking for, because he is our sustenance. And I've come to encourage you today that Jesus is the only thing that can satisfy you. Make sure you've got bread on the table. Let's all stand in this place right now. We're going to worship God. And some of us today need to make a commitment. Maybe your walk with God has got off track. Maybe it's been a long time since you've opened up the Word of God and read your Bible. Maybe you know where it is, but it's going to take some dusting. But you've got to get back into the Word of God and let Christ be formed in you. Let it change the way you speak, the way you live, the way you think. Let it change everything you are. Today, as we worship God, why don't you make a fresh commitment to serve and to live for Jesus today? Maybe you need to find that place of repentance. Maybe you're like that prodigal son who went out and has been in the world and blown everything. Let me tell you, there's always bread in the Father's house. And you're always welcome back, not as a servant, but as a son. No, you don't have to come back with your tail between your legs. You don't have to come back, doing penance and doing all the... No, you'll be restored back as a son. Let's just close our eyes and lift our hands right now. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord God, I pray, let there be a revival of the word of God in this church and amongst these people. Lord God, that we go back to our daily readings and our daily devotions, and Lord, and let your word speak, oh God, to innermost parts of our life. Yes, Lord, sometimes we read and it can be bitter to our belly. But Lord, we know, Lord, that your word is the only thing that can fulfill us. Lord, we know that you, Jesus, are the only thing that can satisfy us, that you are the answer. And so today, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that where you brought us from. We're thankful, Lord, that we no longer have to walk that path that we used to walk. But Lord, because of you, because of your death on the cross, oh God, we have a hope. And Lord, we have a hope of eternity in heaven with you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Let's just worship the Lord as we just sing this song before we close. This altar is open if you want to come and pray. Maybe you need to come and commit to God and say, God, I've wandered. Lord, I'm that prodigal son. I'm the one who's out just losing everything. I tell you, the Father's house, you can go back.